All right, Mail It In Friday, Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and online, tsn1050.ca. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Big Friday planned on the show. We've got four more battles in the Overdrive Madness bracket, and a couple of them are going to be almost impossible to choose.
I know.
But we have to do it. You've seen them, Noodles. They're up online. You can vote for them. Like, there's a couple of battles. Like, Chapo's going up against Brett Hull. I don't know who you pick. I don't know who
Brett Hull's going to win the whole thing with Gloria.
I think We Went Blues is better than Gloria. I would pick We Went Blues over Gloria.
So that's, okay, so like, before we get into it, that's your personal view, is We Went Blues over Gloria if you had to vote right now, because there's a chance they're going to be head-to-head in the finals.
Yeah, there could be. I mean, I would go with We Went Blues. He just sounds like he's had about six more beers for We Went Blues. Okay, I don't know why.
The only thing I have to, you know, go back for search history is, were they both at the same speech or were they separate speeches?
It was all the same. He just was up there for 20 minutes and He Went Blues and Gloria. It was all in the same speech.
I forgot about that. For some reason, I thought there was like a rally where he was buckled.
No,
and then,
I don't think so.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that's how great that performance was. For a guy that wasn't even on the team to be up at the podium and steal the whole show. I don't remember another St. Louis Blue saying anything of significance. I don't remember.
You know, our
comment.
Buddy Chaser probably was up there, and I give them credit though. Like, they included the alumni, like they were part of the team. I don't think a lot of NHL teams would do that. They would be like, you know what, you guys didn't win this, stay away. Like, I'm a part of Carolina's alumni and Toronto's alumni. I don't think if they won the cup, they'd be like, hey, come down and, you know, grab the cup and run around. And so I give the Blues credit. I thought that was awesome.
Well, they do have a very strong alumni. And I mean, I'm part of it from the outside.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not involved. I did a Blues podcast the other day with Jeff Ponder. And, you know, he asked me about that. He said, did you feel pride? Did you, you know, want to be down here and that? And I said, I got to be honest. I said the people that deserve to be there were there. And I brought up Kelly Chase and Brett Hull in particular because I said those guys are the epitome of, when I think of the St. Louis Blues long term, I think of Brett Hull and I think of Kelly Chase because, you know, Chaser is like the moral compass for the Blues. Have you ever, you know, on Twitter, he gets worked up about things. He gets, you know, like, you know how much we love Chaser. It just, when I think of St. Louis Blues, Chaser is the guy I call when I want to know anything about the Blues. And Hully is kind of the face of that organization for how many years?
And yeah, the most famous St. Louis Blue ever is Brett Hull.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's even up for debate, but even more so than Pronger or anybody else.
Right, but do you guys think, like, what would you have thought of me if I was like, Bob, got ahead to St. Louis, guys, like they won the cup? Like,
I'd go for it if you got invited. I would say
I was invited.
You missed out. Well, I think you missed out on a great opportunity. I mean, I don't know.
But you know,
I mean,
what Jamie's like. He's like, that wasn't my team. I didn't win the cup. I don't want to be like a hanger-on.
I haven't been a Blue for 20 years. Like
Well, neither is Brett Hull. Brett Hull,
I know, but
left
Brett Hull,
before you did.
Brett Hull lives in St. Louis. He is an ambassador. He's worked for the team. He's, you know, same with Kelly Chase. Like, those guys are the epitome of the St. Louis Blues. So for me, like, I wasn't there in January where they hit rock bottom. Yeah. You guys weren't, you know, I felt the game was unfair. I think I did exactly what I should have done.
I think you're overthinking it.
Really?
I guess, well, I mean, it's not like I would say you should show up and steal the show and, like, push, you know, Alex Steen out of the way and steal the mic. But I think if you're just there as a guy who's kind of on the periphery, hanging out, embracing it, like, yeah, I played here and it was great. And I don't think I've ever asked you this, but I would assume that was the peak of your career. I mean, those were maybe not for the amount of starts you had, but that was the best team you played on. You guys, clearly you connected with a lot of people there that you're still very close with, and you were in your prime. You're in your 20s. So I don't, you know, you've always adored St. Louis. It's not like you've turned your back on them. You moved on. You got claimed in the expansion draft, I think it was.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I went to Minnesota, and like to me, I look statistically, I had a really good year in Calgary one year. That was kind of like that 04 season. And then you're right, like my best years were in St. Louis because we had such a great team. But my point being is, even though I felt connected, like Jay Bomeister is a good buddy of mine, I felt like I didn't want to be one of those guys. Like
they, I hear you.
You know, on the outer layer, sticking my nose in there, kind of, yeah, yeah. Like, it, you, if you're going to do that, and there, this is why I give Chaser and Brett Hull full credit, because they were there through thick and thin with that organization where I'd moved on. Like, I know a lot of people associate me more with Calgary than they do St. Louis because...
Right,
you know,
I hear you. And, like, they live there. You,
right.
You don't. So I guess if that's the requisite, you have to still live in the city, then that's, I guess, a bit of a different story. Okay. But
well, let's bring it closer to home. Who
I'll
would
bring
you...
it closer to home, gentlemen.
Okay, you
something
go ahead.
Something has really been bugging me.
Okay.
And we've had to talk about the Blues, but I need to get this off my chest.
All right.
James Mertl did everyone by number, and for 92 for the Leafs, he picked Ozhiganov as the best Leaf to wear 92.
Come on. He did that on purpose because you chirped the analytics guys.
Like,
he did
you,
that on purpose.
I only played for the Leafs for 2 years, but he picked Ozhiganov?
I don't even know if that... Like, the hockey news can't find that guy.
Yeah, he like, barely played. He was here for 1 year, and he was in and out of the lineup.
I think James did that on purpose to take a shot at you.
That's an intentional troll,
yeah. That's an intentional troll.
It's a smart play because he knows we're going to bring it up on the show, and now people are going to go read the piece on the website.
Like, Grappler, can you confirm? I don't get the Athletic. It goes blank after. What?
That's why. You always take shots.
Subscriber. Ozhiganov.
I don't take shots. I just don't read stuff like that.
No,
that's not my thing.
You openly admit
Ozhiganov. Ozhiganov is the best Leaf to wear 92. Ozhiganov.
Well,
Ozhiganov.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I think that that is a backhanded slap because you always take a shot at Mertl and the analytics and all of that. So he's got
right.
His platform, and he said, you know what? I'm gonna line up and hit you square in the pills because
okay.
You know what?
Yeah,
you're a better player than Ozhiganov ever was. Ever.
I know.
You're a better player today.
He poured gasoline on my underpants and then lit him on fire.
You're
That's
a better. You're a better player if you put the gear on today than that guy. That's my opinion. So you know what? Like, I think he did it on purpose just to troll you. That's my opinion.
I can't even find it. I'm trying to look for it right now. I don't see it anywhere.
Did he tweet it?
Well, I'm sure it's out. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay, I got it here.
Oh, listen to this. Listen to this, guard. This guy gets paid to write this stuff. Nondescript Russian defenseman played third pair minutes for 53 games for the Leafs, and then he returned to the KHL. He will be remembered for very little. Honorable mention, Jeff O'Neill.
Well,
is this guy on drugs?
I don't know.
I'm not kidding. If we got 10 minutes an open segment, call him.
Myrtle. Call him up, because I think this is actually a brilliant move. This
no,
is what I would
stupid.
Do, too. No, it's a smart move, because now we're talking about...
He will be remembered for very little other than the fact Justin Hall sat rotting in the press box all year as a result of him being on the ice. This choice is absolutely a troll job. He actually admits it. Is that because of me?
Let me find it here. Hold
on. Yeah, hold on.
Slow down. You don't even have it. You don't.
I'm reading it. Keith sent it to me.
Well, why wouldn't you bring this up before so I could have it prepared?
Yeah. I don't know. I saw Chris Cuthbert. He's like, he's the
yes,
one
okay. Oh, let me read this. So you just read it, but yes, it ends with this choice is absolutely a troll job. Honorable mentions, Jeff O'Neill. So he got exactly what he wanted. Mertl,
yes.
This is why he's running the operation over there.
Yeah.
Is because he knew this would get your blood boiling. He admits it. Of course it's a troll job.
It's like, a brilliant move by James.
And now
brilliant.
People are going to be listening to the show saying, I guess I got to go subscribe to The Athletic because I got to read it because you can't get down to 92.
It's like one of those things the teacher does where it's like there's stupid questions on a test and the very last thing is turn your paper over and don't do this test. This is a joke. That's what this is.
Well, it's actually brilliant because he is in the world of getting clicks. He is in the world of getting his whole operation some free press if he can. And I would suggest we've been doing that now for 5 minutes, and you even read it. Like, it's just a blatant troll job. It's a blatant troll job. Because
I think it is.
Obviously, Ozhiganov, who barely played and no one cared for.
53 games. It was a stiff.
But they were good ones. They must have been really good. I bet you his underlying numbers were probably fantastic.
I do wonder about that.
The guy, he had a...
Expected goals were actually quite impressive.
Corsi relative of 58. You know, like, I'm telling you, this is a guy that... I bet you if we got Jonas on the phone, Jonas would probably defend him. And say, you know what, he didn't play sheltered minutes. His zone starts were, you know, very tough. Like, I guarantee you that Mertl, writing this piece, said, I'm going to tune up O-Dog. You know what? I usually read The Athletic, and I've read a lot of it lately. I missed that piece. I apologize to James.
I did not see that either. I didn't see him. I'm sure he tweeted that out. I'm sure everyone has been posting it. I have not seen it. But that is very intriguing, but I think it's obviously a blatant troll job.
He
writes it in the article. So he got you. Basically, he got you. Like, that was written for the purpose of one person and one reaction, because no one else reading it, unless you're a fan of the show, which I'm sure a lot of people get the show, also listen or read The Athletic or read Mertl, they would probably understand it. But basically, that was for the purpose of one person's reaction. And he played you like a fiddle. You fell right into the trap. You brought it up immediately. And now I'll bet you this is going to get comments through the roof.
More
clicks than anything anyone's ever written before on The Athletic. It'll be great. Yeah, it's actually a brilliant maneuver.
I think it's a brilliant one, too. And actually, to bring it back to that St. Louis chat that we had earlier, in Toronto, if the Leafs won the Cup, who would you be fine with, other than the players, who would be the Brett Hull / Kelly Chase for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Is it Tucker and is it Clark? Is it Gilmore? Who is it that you would be fine with grabbing the mic?
Mark LaForest.
Trees. Yeah, I'd be fine with Trees, too. Hack and a dart, get right up on stage, let everyone know he's having the time of his life. But I think there's only a couple guys.
It's only a couple. It's the guys Dougie who are always
Wendell.
Around. Now, it's Wendell one. Wendell's number one. Wendell's the guy. Like, Dougie's a huge part of it. But Doug went to Kingston and was with the France and all that. Like, if we're using the Chase and Hull comparison, that they stayed there and that they were working with the team and they never left.
Right.
Like, Clark would be the number one guy. I think Daryl Sittler would be high on the list as well.
Yeah.
Because Sittler's always hanging around, and he's been in one of these, you know, mainstay ambassadors for quite some time. And he's always lived in Toronto. He was always at the Gardens and always at Scotiabank. I would say it probably goes Sittler and Wendell as 1A and 1B.
I know, but do you think Daryl Sittler would sing Gloria? You got to think of the guy that
I don't think
sing
any
Gloria.
Of them would. I don't know if any of them would. Like, I don't know if anyone would have the same reaction. Any alumni of any team in any sport would do what Brett Hull did. Like, I think it's such a rarity that this guy had 45 beers in the back. And, like, we had Jamie Baker on a few months ago, and Baker said he was back there with him, and it was completely, off the cuff. It was not scheduled. No one there that was running that operation, no one that had the itinerary, no one that was in charge of the parade at any point wrote down Brett Hull is going to speak, let alone sing. What's that?
Why was Jamie Baker there?
Well, I guess he lives down there and he's an alumni. Like, that's what he told us. Wasn't it Baker Noodles? I thought it was.
No, Jamie Rivers. Sorry.
Oh, Rivers.
Jamie
Rivers. Okay, well, there you go. I got his name wrong. It was Rivers. Oh, yeah. That's who it was.
Yeah, no, Jamie Rivers is a big part of the alumni, and he runs hockey schools there. He does radio, ESPN radio. He was in the pit, and he was having a he told us the story. He was having a beer with Hully, and Hully said, hold on, I'm going to go up and talk. And that was it. He turned around, and
there was
and
no
Hully
plan.
Just,
he wasn't supposed to be up there. It wasn't at any point a part of the parade, plans.
No.
That's
tough, though. Like, if you're running the parade, and let's say you're one of the volunteers, or, you know, maybe you're third year in the organization or something, kind of newer, and Brett Hull is walking towards you and just tells you, I'm going to take the stage. Like, what do you do? Like, you can't shut him down.
Well, clearly you let him go up. And the thing is, you also got to remember, like, I guess it's kind of, there's some politics at play because the fans would love to hear him. You know, like, yes. Again, if to bring it back to Toronto, if the Leafs ever won a cup and Wendell said he'd want to go up and speak, people would love to see that. Like, the 2 million people that would be down there would be so happy to hear from him. But you do wonder about the current players. You know, is there a guy who, yeah, he didn't play a ton, but technically he was on the team, who's like, what, does that mean I can't speak because Wendell's speaking? Or I can't speak because Hall is speaking? You know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
Because remember the Raptors, when the Raptors, because of the gong show that was the parade, not everyone spoke. A very few amount of players spoke. Basically the main guys, you know, the starters. It wasn't like the 12th man was getting up there and speaking. That didn't happen. Patrick McCaw didn't get on the mic. Jeremy Lin didn't speak. So that's where, like, the political aspect comes into play, or the politics of it all.
If you're not a heavy hitter, you're not talking.
No, but also, like, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I don't know. Maybe the Blues allowed everyone to speak. I don't know. But I wouldn't be shocked if there was a guy on, like, the fourth line that was like, really? I didn't get to say anything. I won the cup, and Brett Hall's up here for 20 minutes singing Gloria? Like, how does that work?
You know. I don't know, but, like, I guarantee you, like, listen, everyone on the team, and it's a joyous occasion. It wasn't like he got up like Joe Exotic and sang at a funeral.
You know, right.
Yeah. Like, it was a joyous occasion. I'm sure there was some off-the-cuff comments and, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, you're right. I think everyone on the team would be fine with it. But there was probably one guy going, are you kidding me? Look, let's go here. Let's move this along. And we got this guy who's, you know, buckled and enjoying himself here. Like, I guarantee you everyone tolerated and was fine with it. But there may have been one that was like, all right, I wouldn't mind the microphone.
I wouldn't mind getting up there. I had some
moment.
Planned. Yeah, right. And they never gave me a chance. Yeah. To speak. But anyway, we'll get Myrtle on.
Mullen,
Grappler, yeah. Or send him a note, see if he wants to come on. But that is quality work from him. I have to believe that was a premeditated trolling attack that worked to perfection, basically.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, I think Myrtle did
Osha Ganhoff.
Well, I'm just reading it now. But he you know, he even admits it. This choice is absolutely a troll job. So he admits that I threw it in there. But it's good because maybe Jeff O'Neill's going to get a athletic subscription out of it.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's what we need to broker a deal here with Myrtle. We've been talking about his article off the charts here for 20 minutes. Least we can do is maybe get a trial going. Give me a 92-hour trial. For Igor Ozhiganov and the O-Dog. They both get it. They both get 92 hours.
Okay, but let me... It could have been worse. What if the honorable mention was... Was there anybody else in history that wore 92?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It could have been worse. Like, what if it would have been that guy?
Well, that would have been the ultimate troll. I would assume Myrtle would do that if there was a guy that wore 92.
Like, honorable mention to, you know, Kyle Wellwood, you know, from training camp, or somebody who wore it, you know, one game or something. Like, that's it. But it's a very unique number. Like, what was Ozhiganov's thought process behind 92?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, maybe
think he wore it in the KHL.
Yeah, he must have. That's not a number they don't just give you that number. You show up and ask for 92. We'll try to track down Myrtle and get more of an explanation on that. Maurice Jones-Drew will join us later this afternoon. Looking forward to catching up with MJD. And we got a big guest lined up here. Your boyo, Dave Coulier, Uncle Joey from Full
House.
He's
awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
You know what? Do you think you would ask him John Stamos's bar play?
Oh, he would love to talk about that. I've asked him that 100 times.
Because what was John Stamos' name in the show? Wasn't he Uncle?
He was Uncle Jesse. Yeah, it was Jesse. Uncle Jesse and Uncle Joey.
I'll tell you what, you want to talk about bar play.
Back in the day when all those guys were single and they were like the top show on earth,
yeah,
they did damage, if you know what I mean.
Well, I want to ask him, I hope he's willing to get into this, Bob Saget.
He is something else.
Yeah, like Danny Tanner, Danny Tanner is the biggest kind of nerd dad character in the history.
Not in real life.
But that's it. In real life, he apparently had some real problems.
Yeah. I don't think we can get into all of them.
Well, I'm not asking about the problems, but I want to ask him, like, how different was Danny Tanner and Bob Saget? Like, what was that transition like? We're like, oh, here comes Bob after a 48-hour bender, and now he's going to morph into khakis and a sweater.
I don't go there, buddy.
Well, we'll see. We'll read the room, all right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dave Coulier is coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we're tracking down James Myrtle. We'll try to get Myrtle on at some point this afternoon. We've got Ray Ferraro coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Rex Ryan with an all-time take earlier today on ESPN. About Amari Cooper.
Can you call somebody that word?
I mean, that's offside, man. You can't do that.
Yeah, we'll play the clip. We'll get into it at 5.
Yeah,
so if you missed it, we'll play it. We'll let you know. I mean, what is being lost in it is what he said you can't say, and it became way too personal. But prior to that, it was an all-time great take, and it was a take I really appreciate. But we'll play it. We'll get into it, and we'll get into it more with Ray. We're going to call up Dave Coulier here in a moment, who many people would remember as Joey Gladstone from the ABC sitcom Full House, one of the all-time great shows. I grew up watching that show. My sisters were into every day. We'd get home from school. It was on at like 4 o'clock every day on, I want to say, Global in Toronto.
Yeah, we all watched it.
Yeah, Full House was a great, great
legendary
show. Legendary show.
Yeah, I don't think that was probably one of the most popular shows growing up for me.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, it was a big hit. And like a lot of the characters, I mean, they're still relevant today.
Yeah, they did
like
a reboot, Fuller House.
A huge reboot. And, you know, Candace Cameron Bure, she's married to Valerie Bure. The Olsen twins are like billionaires. John Stamos, Bob Saget. We know what's up with Aunt Becky. Aunt Becky's in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, she's had a
very
tough,
tough spot. And then Dave Coulier is still, you know, doing stand-up and acting and voice acting. Where would you have met him, Mo? How did you guys become friends?
Dave and I met at a golf tournament in North Carolina probably 20 years ago. And we just kind of have been buddies ever since. Just stayed in touch. And that's how it happened, a golf tournament.
The golf tourney. The golf tour, man. The celebrity golf tourney tour.
That's
is
what
the
it was.
I think he's a hockey fan. I think he's a hockey fan, too.
Massive Wings fan.
Yeah.
Tough year for Dave.
Yeah, grew up in Michigan. And, again, you know him as a comedian, an actor, a voice actor. This is really cool to have him on the show. Here's Dave Coulier. What's up, Dave?
How's it going, guys?
Doing pretty well. He's still doing the whole golf tour, the celebrity tour like UNO were doing 20 years ago, or what?
Well, I want to tell you how Jeff and I met. It was at the Jimmy V golf tournament down in Carolina.
Dave, and, if there's anything stupid here, please do not.
No, bring it. Bring it up.
Bring
I
it.
Have to. I have to. Here's how we connected, and it's in the most immature, childish way. We're standing on a balcony, and we're just kind of hanging out after the golf tournament. And so we're standing next to each other, we're having a couple of pops, and people are walking by underneath us, and every time someone would bend over, I would go, and Jeff starts cracking up. So, of course, it makes me do it more. So every time someone would walk by, I would try and do an impression of what their fart sounded like. So, for instance, when a big guy walked by, it sounded like this. And if
what
a
about
woman
a smaller
happened
person?
To walk by, if a
woman.
Woman happened to
okay.
walk by, it sounded like this. So we bonded in the most basic, primordial, immature way two guys can possibly bond.
What kind of reaction?
So we've been friends
were
ever
getting?
Since.
Okay, well, what was the reaction from the, you know, I guess the victims in this case?
Well, one guy walked by and he goes, "Hey, that wasn't me." And then we just became buddies, and I knew I had a partner in crime. If a guy laughs that hard at my immature stuff like that, I know he's a buddy for life.
That'll work. That'll work, man. The Jimmy V, how many times has that come up on this show? Oh, we talk about that tournament all the time. We've had Barkley on before. We've had a bunch of guys who circled that tourney, right?
Well, back in the day, that was like a big tourney. I think it's kind of gone downhill like most celebrity golf tournaments do after a bunch of years, but I think they moved it to another course and it's just not the same. But back at that time, it was like Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, it was, you know, Dave Coulier. It was a big tournament.
When you think of, you know, superstar athletes, you know, I'm thrown into that group right away.
Right. We mentioned you grew up in Michigan and you're a Wings fan. You had about a 25-year run there that I'm sure you were as cocky as any sports fan in North America. But have you kind of had to quiet that down the past couple of years or what?
Well, you got to remember I was here for the 42-year drought, too. So, you know, we couldn't get too cocky, but we had a good run. I mean, when you look at the amount of Hall of Famers that came through Detroit at that time, the list goes on and on and on, and it was great. I mean, fans here waited 42 years for another cup. I was at the game where they clinched it against Philadelphia at Joe Louis Arena, and I sat next to Gordie Howe for that game. And Gordy just kept telling me, David, get me another Chablis.
Nice.
Who said Chablis? You know? But Gordy and I went down, and the first guy I saw when I went down was Mike Vernon. And I walked in with Gordy, and we just kind of stood there watching guys with champagne and the Stanley Cup. It was magical.
How tough has this or the past season been, Dave? I've been watching the Wings. I kept thinking to myself, they're not that bad. They got some good players, but game in and game out, they just get thumped. How tough is that watching that?
Well, you know, it's hard, you know. I mean, you look at the way the league is now and with draft and free agency, you know, even though they'll end up in last place, they still only have an 18% chance of getting the number one pick, you know, so it's tough. It's rebuilding. I've talked to Stevie Eiserman about it, and he said, look, we're on a long-range plan here, and we've got a nucleus of players with Mantha and Larkin and Bertuzzi and Hronek to build around, so it's going to be a long time. I mean, you guys have seen this happen many, many times with teams that peak, and then, you know, it's a tough ride after that.
With actor and comedian.
It's going to take some time.
Yeah, it'll take some time for sure. And Eisenman's the guy to have, I think. Eisenman will get them through it at some point. Look what he did in Tampa, and I think at some point they'll turn the corner with Dave Coulier, actor and comedian. So we were talking about Full House prior to having you on, and just the characters that like blew up from that show that are still like big in pop culture, like yourself, like Stamos, Saget, the Olsen twins, Candace Cameron Bure.
Stamos in the day. Whoa.
Yeah. Did you ever get to ride with Stamos, like, in Hollywood or what?
Are you kidding? I used to ski in his wake and just supermodels would be bouncing off of me.
Yeah, I could picture that.
It wasn't a bad place to be. He would actually call me up and go, you better bring some of your senior hockey buddies over with some beer because I got five girls sitting in my pool and I'm by myself. So I would call my buddies and they're like, are you kidding me? And they couldn't get over to my house fast enough. And here I would bring these knucklehead hockey guys over and they just couldn't believe it. I was voted number one star every time we did that.
No kidding. Yeah, well, we always hear about like the hockey scene in Hollywood. It's usually like either Canadians or guys from the Midwest or the Northeast, like just playing pickup hockey. How many rinks are even in L.A.? Can't be that many.
Oh, yeah, it exploded. Once Gretzky came from Edmonton and started with the Kings, the junior programs exploded in L.A. I mean, look how many kids have come out of California now that are playing in the show.
Right.
It's really been, they've really got a huge hockey culture. Well, when you look at California, they've got three NHL teams. So, that is kind of filtered down into the junior programs, and there's rinks everywhere. It's really great.
Dave, Brian was asking before about Bob Saget, how kind of he's a different character than he was on the show. Can you kind of explain that, or is he's a totally different guy, isn't he?
He's not exactly Danny Tanner 24/7, right?
He's my filthy Jewish sister. That's what he is. And he knows that I describe him that way. He is, Bob's always been triple R, he's the video host, and then he's Danny Tanner. I would just look at him and go, what are you going to do? You filthy degenerate. But I knew Bob before Full House. I actually slept on his couch when I was a struggling comic at the age of 19 years old out in L.A.
And really?
So we were buddies. Yeah, we were buddies long before Full House. And then we ended up on that show, and I just said to him, I said, everything I know about you, we are in trouble.
By the way, how does that work? You just decide in Detroit that you're funny, you're going to move out to L.A. and chase the dream. How does that whole thing go down?
It's no different from, being a kid in Ontario who thinks he's going to make it to the show. You go and you have a dream and you work hard and you stay focused and, with some good luck and determination, hopefully you get there. As you saw along the way playing, on your way to playing professional hockey, you saw a lot of talented guys, I'm sure. And, they just didn't have that certain ingredient to make it into the NHL. I saw a lot of similar things coming up as a stand-up comic and an actor. I saw a lot of really talented people, but they just didn't have that certain something. And whether it was work ethic or, staying focused. For me, it was just, I had a great partner in crime, Mark Sandrowski, who's from my hometown of St. Clair Shores, Michigan. He directed every episode of the Big Bang Theory. And he and I were roommates out there in L.A. And, he's from my hometown, and we've known each other since we were 8 years old. So we were both on this path, and we both believed in ourselves, and we thought we were funny. And so I was kind of lucky in that regard that I had a teammate and a partner in crime.
With actor and comedian Dave Coulier, what's that kind of competition like when you get to L.A. and you're trying to get in the comedy clubs and you're trying to get on the main stage, you're trying to get on at 10 p.m.? I mean, what's that like, the how much support you get from comedians and club owners, et cetera?
It's grueling. You're not part of a team. You're not, you're not all sitting together on the bus going to a game with a coach. You're by yourself when you're a stand-up, and it's extremely competitive. And back when I was starting, the Tonight Show hosted by Johnny Carson was really the goal. That was the only thing that would propel you into the limelight. And you couldn't go into the Improv in L.A. or the Hollywood Comedy Store. And at that time, my group was Jerry Seinfeld, Bob Saget, Gary Shandling, Drew Carey, Dennis Miller, Howie Mandel, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, Jay Leno, David Letterman. So, you couldn't go into a club like that and follow Robin Williams and just kind of, do it kind of halfway. You had to go up and kill. And so it was a pretty tough environment. You had to, when you showed up on that stage, there were lots of Hollywood agents and producers sitting in those audiences. So you couldn't go up and, you know, lay off. You had to go and, you know, try and score as many goals as you could for those people.
Dave, before we let you go, and I thank you very much for coming on today, can you just give us a bit of a hint on what the loudest, smelliest fart sounds like?
Hold on a second. Now, I'm going to have to take in a lot of air to do this. Okay. Hold on.
That's an expert right there. It's still going.
Let me just say that is a God-given talent. You can't teach something like that.
Yeah, that's
for all you young entertainers out there. What I was saying earlier, you got to work hard to get that.
Right, generational talent right there. He is the great Dave Coulier. Really appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Dave. We'll do it again soon.
That one wasn't me.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
All right. There he is, actor and comedian Dave Coulier.
Oh, my God.
What an introduction for yourself 20 years ago. Golf tournament.
That's how you met.
Yeah, like a guy would bend over to tie up his shoe, and he'd be like, I just was like, this guy is an idiot, just like me.
How about he has some stories.
Oh, my God.
Bob Saget is fascinating. I need more. And Stamos. Imagine getting that call from Stamos.
Yeah, get over here. There's five hot girls in my pool. Get some of your hockey buddies.
I need help.
Can you imagine being a beer leaguer and Coulier calls you back in 93 saying, we're going to Stamos' pool?
Yeah, and exactly.
Wow.
Although, imagine what that's where, on the flip side, the five women, you know, they're sitting there saying, all right, we're here for Stamos. Like, one of us is going to connect with Stamos. The other four are like, great, I've got, you know,
and four
Phil.
Four grenades walk through the door.
Gary from Red Deer is in the pool.
Exactly.
Like, no thanks.
Just grit grinders and take their shirts off and hair everywhere. And just a couple bears get in there. Like, it's just
right.
No way.
Yeah, no thank you. No thanks. Just riding in the wake of Stamos, though, down every boulevard in Hollywood. That's outstanding.
He must have been a machine.
Yeah. Well, Stamos is. Yeah.
He has. You talk about hair. Like, this guy still has it.
Like, him and John Stamos and Rob Lowe are like better looking now than they were 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think like Clooney's aged pretty well. There's a few guys that were
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, good looking dudes, and they're still, because they stay in shape. You know, they take care of themselves. It's not really rocket science.
Well, how about Rob? Wasn't Rob Lowe wearing an NFL hat?
Yeah.
Where was that at the Super Bowl?
At the Niners game. He was in San Fran with me.
Yeah, with Hayes.
Yeah. He was 50 feet away in an NFL hat. He got chewed out for that, too.
Oh, like, who supports, he just got ripped for that.
Because that is such a loser.
Yeah,
who supports,
he's like,
oh,
you can't pick a team.
That's awesome. I actually loved it. His brother is a big hockey fan, right? Chad Lowe. And I've had an opportunity to cross paths with. I've never met Rob, but I've always been a fan of Rob Lowe. Like, his acting. I think he had some issues, but his acting has been fantastic. And to me, I thought that was a brilliant move. Just an NFL hat. Right in the middle, too.
Just supporting everybody. Everyone. Yeah. He just wants everyone to have a good time.
Classic.
All right. So Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll play the Rex Ryan audio on Amari Cooper from earlier today. If you haven't heard it, we'll play it at 5. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Glory, glory, yeah!
The Overdrive Madness Bracket.
This guy's such an idiot here.
All right, the Overdrive Madness Bracket brought to you by Maple Toyota, reminding everyone to follow the advice of healthcare experts, exercise social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and keep the vulnerable in mind. MapleToyota.com. So, again, we're into the round of 32, and basically every battle is going to be an incredible battle. I mean, the four that we have ongoing right now are off the charts, quality and tough. And I think it should be a battle. I think a couple of these should go into overtime. You can vote on Twitter at Overdrive1050, on Instagram at TSN1050. Beginning with two battles courtesy of Al's Brothers Farmers Region. This is the one we mention at 4 p.m.
Instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues. We went Blues.
That wasn't planned.
There's nowhere else to go.
There's no script. Just Brett Hall gooned at the Cup Parade in St. Louis. So that's an all-time great clip, right? We'd all agree on that. That has all the potential of being crowned a champion. But it is going up against this Hall of Fame clip.
Oh, that's such a shame. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
And this is something that you just don't want to see.
This is the worst nightmare.
The worst nightmare. Chapeau. Almost putting a guy in the hospital with a tennis ball right off the cranium. So, Brett Hall, we went Blues. Chapeau, oh my goodness.
I think Hall gets through there.
I think Hall's going to get through as well, but Chapeau's pretty good, man.
Chapeau is a staple on this show. Like, it really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time we screw up, Mulls goes to that drop.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, they're just dripping with sincerity, too. They're sick to their stomach that Chapeau could do something like that.
It is one of... I mean, now that we know that the judge is fine, even though he went through, I think, a little bit of issues, but, man, like... And Chapeau's lucky that he's a good player, too. If like, that's, you know, that's not the only thing he's going to be remembered for.
No. He's right when he beat Nadal. He beat Nadal, and then it was like, all right, we've moved on.
Right.
So that's one battle, and this is the second battle. It's kind of got a similar vibe to the Chapeau, oh my goodness. It's in, I think, a different language, but I'm not even sure which one. Here is our boy, Maradona.
That's not even real.
Imagine being a sideline journalist and having to stare at him in the face with a microphone while he's giving that answer. So that one, he does sound like he may have been having a good time. And this is one, this guy was not having a good time.
77-78 when Joe Pisarcik was their quarterback. Patterson played Joe. So take that with your Pythagorean theorem. The Joe Pisarcik theorem. You're dead.
So Maradona up against Don LaGreca. Those are the two battles ongoing. Al's Brothers Farmers Region. You vote on Twitter, vote on Instagram. And we've got the Constipator Region, two battles that we'll get to later in the afternoon. Seeing online, Shams Charania from The Athletic reporting that Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2020. How's
slam
that for a class?
Slam dunks right there. Yeah, slam dunks right
like,
there.
I can't imagine there's ever been a better one than that. I mean, unless maybe year one they put in, I don't remember when the Naismith Hall of Fame opened, but how do you get better than Kobe? Like, Kobe and Tim Duncan, I think, are top 10 players all time. And Garnett is in the top 50, top 100 for sure. I mean, those are three rock stars. So that news breaking this hour. And obviously, you know, that's going to be about Kobe, predominantly about Kobe, who, of course.
It's almost, Brian, you wonder if they could have done, like, something different this year and said just Kobe's going in by himself.
Yeah.
You know, like when Lemieux retired, they made a special exemption where it's like just like you're going in right away.
Yep.
Like, just do something for Kobe. Like, just Kobe alone, and next year, like, I'm sure Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan wouldn't care.
Well, I think they, in a way, almost appreciate that because they might feel like, how are we supposed to.
Yeah, it's like not even anything about you or your career. You're not being celebrated properly.
No, it's going to be about Kobe. And it should be about Kobe, but again, not at the expense of Duncan and Garnett. I think you're right. That is exactly what should happen. Yeah. But it doesn't sound like it will. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. There's a report on the Bulls maybe looking into acquiring Bobby Webster as their man that's going to run the operation in Chicago. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.